Online all the time. 88.3 Southern FM.
Yes, 88.3 Southern FM. And this is now the Space Show. And I asked you a few moments ago to go out and look at the moon. It's almost directly overhead. Only 12 people have walked on that celestial body. And guess what? We've got one of them here in the studio.
I'm Apollo 16 astronaut Charlie Duke, the 10th man to walk on the moon. And you got a bunch of guys about to turn blue. This is the Space Show, Australia, on 88.3 Southern FM.
Now, sometimes you have to be careful what you wish for. In Adelaide on Monday, there were a bunch of folks about to turn blue. Would Australia, 60 years after the launch of Sputnik 1, finally get a space agency? The space community had been begging for one for decades. For example, Richard Tonkin, who helped build Australia's first delivered but second launched satellite 50 years ago. On Wednesday last week, he made this plea.
I wrote a chapter in the book about Australia's promising start in space at Woomera in the 1960s and the failure over decades of successive governments to capitalise on that and help develop a thriving space industry in this country to employ our graduates and to join the spacefaring nations of the world. Of the 35 OECD countries, only we and tiny Iceland don't have a space agency, an essential step in achieving these goals. Megan Clark was going to be with us tonight. She's recently been appointed to chair a committee to advise the federal government on the desirability, or otherwise, of establishing a space agency. New Zealand did so last year. In my youth, when Australis was being built, President Kennedy was an inspiration to me and to my generation. To paraphrase a line from his inaugural speech to the Australian government, ask not why we need a space agency. We've been telling you for decades. Ask yourselves why we shouldn't have one. It's time. Thank you.
And it seems that people have been listening to Richard. That was Richard Tonkin at Melbourne University last week. Richard was a member of the Australis Oscar 5 team. Tim Parsons is one of the new space entrepreneurs with many projects under his wing. For example, he is the co-founder of XLab. Speaking last week at the Space Association of Australia in Elsternwick, he said that there is an opportunity for Australia to create a next-generation space agency.
So, talking about international cooperation, here are all the countries that have got civilian space programs. And I kind of put this up, and then I sort of say, in Australia, we're the last GDP, the last top economy to not have a space agency. But, you know, the last search engine was Google, and they have last mover advantage, and they're the biggest. So I think we have the opportunity to create a new type of space agency, a next generation space agency 2.0 is what I've been calling it, and I did call it that in the round table. And that is one which engages, yes, in some amazing science missions and also has an avowed directive to build a domestic industry and to build a capability that's very cross-disciplinary.
An Australian space agency has been mooted for half a century, but there have been many who oppose the move. One of those who changed their view was Tim Parsons, as he explained to the Elsternwick meeting.
I have to say that there's a lot to be said for your argument. And again, for the last couple of years, people who know me know that I was actually a little bit skeptical about the space agency myself. For me, I was scared that we were essentially going to the government as we've been doing for the last 20-odd years and saying, give me money so I can buy some toys, right? But at the same time, I also learned that from a branding point of view, space agency works really well. I want to call the people in Australia who know how to help me land my spacecraft in Woomera. No one's answering that phone call from the Japanese Space Agency right now. They're approaching random Australians in international space conferences and saying, do you have that number? Because we've got a second space probe, a second Hayabusa space probe, and we want to land that mother in the Australian outback, and we don't know who to call, right? So there's a very powerful cut through in saying Australian Space Agency. As a coordinator. And also, it turns out that because of international agreements, as a sovereign country, our ability to underwrite missions from an insurance point of view, to guarantee that if there's an accident, Australia will contribute to any cleanup or any compensation, is often the price of entry to the party. So I sort of put aside my own reservations about the structure of the thing, and I said, let's call it Australian Space Agency because everyone will have a sense that that is who you call. But then let me try and advocate for Space Agency 2.0. And then I realized, and I met quite a few people who work in places like NASA and places like European Space Agency, those organizations are trying to reinvent themselves to become more entrepreneurial. They're reaching out to the new space community. They're asking for co-funding opportunities. They're trying to rethink how their models are operating because they know they're in a dwindling fiscal situation as far as the public purse, right? And so, as a proportion of public expenditure, certainly NASA's budget has shrunk as a proportion. It's still a lot of money, but as a proportion has shrunk. So increasingly they look back at their core why does NASA exist? To discover life in the universe and also help human beings place themselves in the cosmos. That's a big why that they have. Do they need to spend hundreds of billions of dollars to do that? Maybe they don't. Maybe they just need to coordinate. Maybe they just need to co-fund. Maybe they just need to collaborate better. And so I'm arguing that in Australia, why don't we just jump to that model right off the bat? We use Canberra, we use the states, and we actually be a little bit less competitive, another C word, and work out how to collaborate better, how to have a less fragmented ecosystem. And then folks like Graham here or like Angus, suddenly they can unlock all of the expensive infrastructure that you guys have paid for, right? We have incredible infrastructure in the Defense Department. We have incredible infrastructure in CSIRO, in our universities, and the utilization rate's probably less than 1%, probably way less than 1%. Why does somebody like Graham have to go through huge hurdles to get access to that? Right. And when you look at it that way, you suddenly go, wow, what's all this red tape we're putting in front of the next generation? Australian entrepreneurs who are going to create something amazing. And yet we're tying them up and we're treating them as if they're cowboys. And we're saying, no. It's only if you turn up with a big international space logo or a military, US Air Force that we'll pay attention to you. That's kind of the received experience of a lot of entrepreneurs. So,
Tim Parsons, the co-founder of XLab, speaking in Elston Wick last week. Now, 2 days ago, Simon Birmingham, the Federal Education Minister, delighted an audience in Adelaide with this announcement.
I'm pleased today to announce that the Australian Government will be establishing a National Australian Space Agency.
Hello, I'm Andrew Rennie. On this evening's The Space Show, we trace that 50-year road from Melbourne University's Australis Oscar V to the present day's Tim Parsons and his colleagues and the announcement that was made on Monday. Now, several weeks ago, the Honourable Chris Schott described to The Space Show his experience as a senator and minister in the Hawke and Keating Labor governments.
I was Minister for Science, Small Business, Customs Construction over 3 years in the Keating government, 93-96. And when I was in the industry portfolio and I sat down with the industry minister, Alan Griffin, and we were running through all the areas of policy that we were divvying up who was going to be responsible And he basically said, well, Shoddy, you can have space because nothing's happening there. And I was very happy to take it as a senator from South Australia with the interest of Woomera and the other things we had in industry, DSTO here in South Australia, interest in the universities. And then I sat down and realised what had not been going on and tried to argue that the very good Madigan report from the beginning of the Hawke government, which recommended establishment of a statutory authority for a national space agency reporting direct to the minister. That was not adopted by the Hawke government in the later 1980s, which was a fundamental weakness because we had a board or then a council which were advisory to the minister and to the department. And what I discovered very rapidly when I became minister responsible in March 1993, the backstabbing, biting and so on between national agencies from defence to industry, to the Bureau of Meteorology, to CSIRO, to the Environment Department, all wanting to ensure that if there was going to be a space program, they ran it. They got control of the budget. And this was a night fight that was difficult to win, difficult to fight, and in particular, the real enemies were the Department of Treasury and the Department of Finance, who never, ever wanted to put any money into space. They always recommended against it, and of course, they were able to say, well, if all these other agencies can't agree amongst themselves for a national space agency, why should we put any money up? So we couldn't even get through that period while I was minister from 93-96. We weren't asking for tens of millions of dollars. We were asking for a handful of a few millions of dollars over 3 or 4 years to kickstart, get the agency going, etc. It was all knocked back for it. One of the things I have to say they used, the central agencies as we call them, the evil empire is another way I describe them, I used to say that to their face, was that, what you want to do is kickstart this, get a little bit, then you'll ask each year for more and more, and you want to build a Cape Canaveral in Australia, which was never, ever my proposal or anybody else's in the space industry. But that's how they ran it, was this was the first step to asking government for hundreds of millions of dollars. Whenever you put the argument about how much we were spending as a nation, both commercially and in government, for access to satellite services, that was just ignored. One of the most, I remember having a discussion with one of the senior generals of the army about the time of we had a peacekeeping force in Cambodia. Our communications to Cambodia for our army, and we had thousands of soldiers, was via American satellites. Now, the Americans opposed what we did in the peacekeeping force because they said Vietnam had invaded Cambodia to get rid of Pol Pot. They didn't recognise the Vietnamese government, and so they stood back. This army, this very senior officer, said, you know, Chris, they could turn the satellite off, and we would have a problem in our own sovereignty with our own soldiers under a UN peacekeeping. That, to me, was the essence of why we have to have a national space policy involving all the agencies for the national sovereignty and the national security of Australia, both commercial and in defence and security. So I have to say, just reading Chapter 8 alone today has been a reminder to me of why we have to be vigorous and active to get our commitment from our organisation, which is the Australian Space Industry Association. We put our own white paper out calling for a national agency, put it to the government, and slowly but surely the present government is starting to respond. It's going to take a lot of work to get them over the line in the next 12 months. I hope we can make it a national election issue for the next 12 or 18 months. Get politicians think it could cost them a vote. Always works to put a bit of heat on. But we may be moving to having a national space agency. Not to build Cape Canaveral, but to ensure that at a commercial level and a national interest level, we are where we are in the world. And one of the things I discovered that appalled me, there are a lot of international regulation and treaties about dealing with space and communication. We had no place at the table of any influence because we didn't have a space program. And people would just look at you and turn away. Who are you? Etc. And these are people who are making decisions of allocating slots in space for where satellites are going to go. These are agencies allocating who gets what on the broadcast band around the world from satellites. And if you don't have a space agency at the table on behalf of the government and the people, you lose out and can't make it. So I have to say to Michael, and I'm delighted to serve with Michael and Alice and others on the executive committee of the space of our association, which is aimed at creating a bigger industry. I think in September I conclude my remarks on the success our association has with the support of the federal and state government of South Australia in bringing the biggest international conference of anything ever held in South Australian history to Adelaide in September. We'll have over 4,000 people here for a week. And if that doesn't kickstart the interest in the general public and in government and in industry, I don't know what will. And this book coming out at the same time is a really good foundation stone to change the parameters and the debate in Australia of why we need to have a space agency and a space industry.
Yeah. Thank you, Chris.
I'm sorry that's a bit long, but I can't help myself.
Thank you for your very kind comments.
I hope I didn't flirt. I don't want to be sued by anybody for defamation. I didn't name anybody particularly, so the departments have to take it themselves.
The evil empire. just to add to what you just said, Chris, yesterday there was more than one momentous event in the Senate, and Senator Denis, the Minister for Industry and Science and Innovation, asked a series of questions about the government's intentions, and he made the most positive comment yet in favour of the sort of policy proposals that we've been pursuing for the last few months around the formation of a space agency. And he said that, you know, there is a review process going on right now with an expert group, but in his mind it will lead, was this, paraphrasing him, but the clear message was that the government is very serious about the idea of a space agency.
We've just always nervous about a review, always an excuse for politicians to drop something and push it aside, a review.
Yeah.
But I'm delighted with his remarks. I'm also pleased that the Shadow Minister for Industry, Senator Kim Carr, has indicated that the opposition is strongly supportive of having a national space agency. So the big thing I would be pleased is if we got it by the two major parties, whoever is the government, they both agree on the same policy to have a national agency, and that will even make it more difficult for the evil empire departments to try and stop us.
Right.
Speaking several weeks ago, that was former Senator Chris Schott and Michael Davis from the Space Industry Association. Now, Brian O'Brien has long been a supporter of Australia's space efforts, and he had this to say about the idea of a space agency and the dearth of policy over the last few years.
Michael, if I could chip in, is probably the oldest here.
Brian,
Brian,
can you just quickly what your involvement has been, Brian?
Well, I wanted to congratulate Chris, for example, for his continued passion.
Well, Brian, Chris Schott, I thank you for your compliment, my passion. It is true, because every time I deal with this now over 30 years, right back even before I was a senator, just as a South Australian citizen, about Woomera, it's a natural passion. Why wouldn't it be? It's so essential for Australia. And just things that used to really send me off. I remember running into an Indian scientist or some delegation coming to Australia. He was associated with the Indian space program. And he reminded me that in the late 70s, after the close of ELDO and in the early 80s, the Australian government was putting out to tender and selling off some of the equipment at Woomera. And the Indians bought it, took it to India, and they said it's a very useful part of the Indian space program. And they bought it almost for 2 cents for a song.
Yes,
and that just, why my passion is still a bit off about it. Secondly, the other thing that, well, the 3 years I was a minister, and I often say privately, I'm a failed minister for the Australian Space Program because I never got out and could not get things done that I wanted to the level that should have been done. But during that time, I used to receive every month a delegation from Ukraine, from Russia, from Europe, wanting to reactivate Woomera with proposals for low Earth orbiting satellites. And there were all sorts of those things. And all of them, and it's in the book, Transfield, the big construction company, came to me and said, actually building a rocket to launch a low Earth orbiting satellite is a lot less complicated than designing and building a destroyer for the Australian Navy. It's not rocket science. And all that needed was some regulatory help, which we could give, but a little bit of seed money, maybe an odd, well less than $10 million, to show that we could make it and launch it. Because you did it once, then the rest would flow. They gave up because they just went round and round. Those are the things that made me frustrated, but also made me maintain my raging passion that this is absolutely essential. The other thing I would say, I used to get more as Minister for Space, even though I wasn't on my letterhead when it went into the system, I'd end up with a letter. The amount of interest in the Australian public in space-related activities is extraordinary. Mm. Soon as you mentioned, there was way back that there was could be a launch of a rocket at Woomera. People would ring in or write in. When is it going to be? Let us know. We'll go up with our caravan and can so we can watch it. School kids wanted busloads to go up. The interest, and you get requests for information from kids doing projects at primary school, at high school, what about it. And all we had to say was, oh, well, we'll forward your information on to NASA or Russia or somewhere else. That's the other thing. We are in the general public, handled properly. People will support what we want to do because, one, they're fascinated by space, and two, when you say this is good economics for Australia, for jobs and wealth creation, people will line up for it.
Yeah.
Former Senator Chris Schott, speaking on a teleconference organised by the Space Industry Association of Australia. Now, more about the proposed Australian Space Agency after these messages.
Southern FM, the sounds of the Bayside.
Where we are discussing on the Space Show the announcement that Australia may have a space agency at long last. Before that, those messages, we were listening to a teleconference organised by the Space Industry Association of Australia.
Yeah, okay. Well, thank you to all of you for your contribution. But now I'd not like to throw it open to questions. Please just tell us who you are and we'll do our best to respond.
Now, that invitation gave me an opportunity to explore further Chris Schott's evil empire views on how efforts to form a space agency have been blocked.
Yeah. Okay. Any questions from our colleagues in the media?
Yes, Andrew Rennie here.
I've got
two questions for Chris Schott, if I may, or anyone else who wants to answer. For Chris, does the evil empire still hold the same views?
They, like all good bureaucrats at a top level, They've seen the government has put out this review now about an agency to look at it, whether it be created, etc. They will say, yes, that's a good thing to do, it's a review. Then you've got to watch that they don't fix the review's result. They will make their own submissions. They will argue economics, cost, the budget, there's a big budget deficit, we can't afford the money, all the standard arguments. And because they are against, ideologically, whether it's a Labor or Liberal government, they will always argue against what they see as the government picking winners to invest in something. And they will argue the government's trying to pick a winner to invest in a space program of some sort, even if it's only a modest amount of money. They always argue against that. Now, maybe I'm overstating it, but I've had enough experience for a long time of dealing with the three agencies, and they basically run the government. That's the Prime Minister's Department, the Treasury Department, and the Finance Department. And they sit on they have an influence on every review, every committee, they make the submissions. And then when it goes to Cabinet, they will make the final recommendation to the Prime Minister, the Treasurer, and the Finance Minister of what they think. And you then have to, sometimes a minister will have to argue against his own department's recommendation. And that often happens, I must say, thank goodness, because we are hopefully a democracy. So it is, I think that there's enough political clout going around now that the evil agencies, as I call them, those central agencies is probably the more name, will be a bit careful that they don't go too far out if they see the two major political parties for politically moving to do something. But you should never ever take your eye off them, and you should always look over your shoulder at what they're doing behind you, because they are very, very influential. Yeah. That's the first question. Sorry about the long answer.
That's fine.
Next question.
Well, since 1986, when I've been following the Australian space program, it seems that we've always been on the cusp of developing Australia's capabilities in space. And what makes you believe that things are now going to be different?
Goodness me, that's the $64 question.
Well, it's sort of...
Maybe.
The assumption about...
Michael, Michael's on the review committee that the Minister's established. It might well be better for him to comment to start with.
Sure. I'm not allowed to make any comment on behalf of the review group, but wearing my chair of the SIAA hat, it seems to me that our capability is improving all the time, and we do have a significant level of scientific and technological expertise and activity based in this country. We estimate that the Commonwealth Government spends over $1 billion on space services right now.
And,
per annum.
Yes.
And as well as that, you have the private sector. You have universities doing good research and development. And all we're lacking is the leadership and the coordination. So I don't expect to see any overnight change in our capability. The capability exists, but with leadership and coordination, more startups will be encouraged to develop their own ideas and their own technologies. It's already happened. And, for example, we in our database, we have about 32 Australian startups that we're aware of. And I'm reliably told that proportionally, that is higher than most other countries. That young Australian scientists and engineers are really seizing the opportunity to develop their own niche and technology. And this is very much, to some extent, driven by we've developed in our universities in developing small sats. But there are other very interesting ideas around propulsion, for example, that are being pursued at commercial level. So even though we keep
questioning what our national capability is. If you read Kerry's book, you will very quickly understand that that capability, which started with Woomera in the 1950s and 60s, carried on and changed and morphed, and new areas came on board. And then in the last, three or four years, we had this new space revolution globally, which is being demonstrated in Australia as well.
I think Michael's answer is the one I endorse. The big question is, well, if we had a national space agency with a focus, with enough resources behind it, it will encourage a lot more people to start looking at how to be involved in space activities on the industry side. We have the skill in the country. It's a matter of getting it to click, and that's a matter of leadership. And the only body on this industry that can provide the leadership to start with is the national government. You cannot do it without the national government indicating it is a national priority. And if we don't do that, it'll always be a bit behind. I think we should use the Prime Minister's words. He wants an innovative society, an innovative economy. Well, this is the space industry is at the cutting edge of what innovation is about. And so those are the things we can use to lobby Mr. Sinodinos, who has made some very good comments so far, and the Prime Minister and the opposition, that if you are serious about a modern economy, innovative, etc., the space industry is a lay-down in the air.
Earlier this year, as mentioned by Michael Davis of the Space Industry Association of Australia, Federal Industry Minister Arthur Sinodinos announced that the government had commissioned an expert committee to report back by March next year on the Australian space sector and to recommend potential policies. The committee has been touring Australia, gathering public and industry opinions. The leader is former CSIRO chief, Dr. Megan Clark. I spoke to her in Melbourne earlier this month. Welcome to the Space Show, Megan.
Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
I understand you're conducting a review into Australia's space industry capability. What's that all about?
Well, in July, Minister Sinodinos asked for a review into Australia's space industry capability. What are we good at? What are our strengths? Where are our weaknesses? What do we need to do to develop our industry and develop sovereign capability? And how do we need to look at any frameworks, any governance arrangements around that that will help the country grow that industry?
And so, to answer his questions, what are you doing?
Well, first of all, what the Minister has asked us to end up with is a national strategy to develop Australia's space industry. So that's what we've been asked to deliver by March of next year. First step around that is to go around the country and listen to experts, industry players, anyone who's involved in space, and really hear what their concerns are and understand these strengths and weaknesses. And we've been doing that, so consulting in every state and territory. Also, there are two very important areas that the Minister's asked to look at: defence and cyber. Both of those, of course, relate to our space activities. So we're consulting around the country. We'll be bringing that together and then working together with the expert review group to put forward a strategy and recommendations to the government by March.
And so that's what's brought you here to Melbourne today?
Yes, so today, and we had a chance to chat at our roundtable. So one of the things we've been doing in every state and territory is having roundtables, bringing together people with, as we had today, extraordinary difference of expertise, putting humans in space. We had some medical people looking at how we do that. We've had industry players who are developing rockets and looking at launch facilities. We had people developing launch facilities. We had startup community players looking to put these very small, very cheap satellites up in space. So a broad range of people came today, and a great meeting.
Did you start out with a preconceived set of ideas of what your findings would be, or is it completely open?
Look, my view is there's a wisdom in Australia. We've had a wonderful history in space activity, and we've been a major player right from the very first commercial satellite telecommunications services. We have some great expertise, and we need to first understand what we're doing, and we wanted to tap into the wisdom of the nation to input into this strategy, and really we've been doing that with our ears open and our minds open.
What do you see as the strength of Australian space industry at the moment?
Well, in asking the nation to consider this, we looked at three particular areas: our capability, how do we develop, and what are the governance arrangements? And they were the three areas that we put out in the issues paper. So taking each one in turn, the capabilities, what are we good at? But where are our gaps? What are the things we should be, we need to be good at? What are we missing in this country? And where are the opportunities? So first of all, we've been looking at Australia's capability. I'll tell you what we've learned is that Australia has some very large strengths. We're very good at how we use space data to look at the Earth, to look at for agriculture, for soils, for vegetation. And that's not a surprise. We're a big country. We had to use space. But we've been doing that for decades. We're particularly good at areas like hypersonics, where in terms of we're also really good at some of the areas of communication. So we've had a long history, as I said, in radio, in radar. We're very good at over-the-horizon radar. We, of course, our Wi-Fi came from the investment in listening to those faint whispers from space. So communication's been an area of strength for Australia. And as a country this large with our maritime borders, that's not a surprise. So we found and we're consolidating where Australia is particularly good, and we want to complete that work and understand those strengths. The strategy, the Minister's asked us to make sure we build on those strengths.
As you've gone around the country, people have no doubt also pointed out our gaps, our weaknesses. What have some of those been?
Yeah, certainly in terms of the development areas, how do we build this space industry? We've met and learnt about over 50 startup companies. How do we connect those startup companies into partnerships with larger players, larger industry players? That's an area where we certainly need work. In the governance area, single point of contact, how do we develop international partnerships? How do we set a national strategy in this area? They're the areas that we're getting consistent feedback around the country.
And when do you expect to complete your work?
We have been asked to deliver our report by March of next year, and we will complete this first pass of listening to the nation and having our roundtables and meetings. We'll finish all of that work by September. We've had some 200 submissions, which is, I think, indicative of how people think this is an important area, and we're meeting with some 300 people through the roundtables. We'll have that work completed by September, and then we will complete our report by March next year.
Now, I sometimes joke, if you stacked up all the reports that have been done on the Australian space industry over the last 50 years or so, you could just climb that stack and get into space. Have you any confidence that your report will actually be listened to and acted on?
It's a good question. I think it's very timely, and that's important. It's timely for a number of reasons. The change of cost, low cost. We're seeing the startup community. We're seeing our industry players, our defence activity. It's very timely now to consider these issues, and we'll put forward the best recommendations we can.
Thanks for joining us on the Space Show, Megan.
Thank you.
I was in conversation with Megan Clark, the chair of the expert reference group commissioned by Senator Arthur Sinodinos. Now, after these messages, we have more about this idea of a space agency.
Hi, this is Mark Holden, and you're listening to 88.3 Southern FM.
After Monday's announcement of an intention to form an Australian space agency, Federal Education Minister Simon Birmingham made this comment.
It's not about some 1960s view of saying we're going to put man on the moon and that it's all a government-funded project. This is about recognising space industry has changed and we should be a part of that new dynamic.
Not to be outdone, Senator Kim Carr, the Shadow Minister for Innovation, Industry and Science, had this to say about Labor's policy.
Developing opportunities to grow the Australian space industry by 10,000 jobs over 5 years with the appointment of an agency whose job it is to attract new investment.
I think he meant an agency. To which Birmingham said,
we've got firm advice that across the board people see a need for coordination. We're going to deliver that through a new National Space Agency, but we will also go through the proper processes of continuing that consultation that Dr. Clark has started as part of the expert panel, and we'll get their recommendations and act from there.
And Senator Carr added,
we believe we can create up to double the size of the Australian space industry in 5 years. We can create up to 10,000 high-skill, high-wage jobs in Australia by developing our capabilities, whereby we can also ensure proper judicial control over our satellites, where we can ensure that we actually have the proper policies in place, even the procurement policies in place, so that the government plays its role in working with the states to ensure we get the jobs that this country needs to develop this country's economic potential.
And we'll let Simon Birmingham have the last word in this series of comments.
Well, look, I wouldn't want to talk it down, but it's not NASA. It will be an Australian space agency with Australian interests seeking to generate and drive investment in Australia, research and scientific capability in Australia, and ensure that across the different paradigms of space, we can be at the forefront as a nation in seizing those opportunities.
Michalia Cash, the acting industry minister, gave a keynote speech yesterday in Adelaide, but didn't add anything new. So we leave the idea there of a space agency until a future program.